UNESCO and its partners are focusing on enhancing safety and combating impunity for crimes committed against journalists. Last March, gunmen in Dar es Salaam attacked and beat Tanzanian editor Absalom Kibanda into unconsciousness. The Media Institute of Southern Africa reports he lost teeth, nails, and an eye. His case is not unusual. Organizations note that most of the attacks are never prosecuted, thus encouraging a culture of impunity for assaults on reporters and freedom of expression. The Committee to Protect Journalists says 80 murders of reporters in Africa have remained unsolved since 1992. Meanwhile, 41 African journalists will be marking World Press Freedom Day in prison. The forces arrayed against journalists include hostile governments, organized crime, and armed militants. CPJ's Mohamed Keita says in recent years, citizen journalists and bloggers have joined traditional reporters as targets.
In places like Sudan, a lot of citizen reporters have been arrested for filming demonstrations, for getting the word out. We've seen the same in places like Angola, which also experience anti-government protests. The same in Ethiopia, also anti-government protests. And governments have sought to crack down. In Ethiopia, they arrested citizen reporters for sending text messages, for instance, or for people attempting to upload footage via social media. You know, Zimbabwe prosecuted a man for posting a political comment on Facebook in 2011. And in Ethiopia, another journalist was arrested for blogging about the Arab Spring.
Keita warns that outside forces are also contributing to the problem.
Just recently, it was reported that the Nigerian government has awarded an Israeli surveillance company a contract for interception of telecommunications of citizens in Nigeria. We know that the Chinese company ZTE is heavily involved in all over Africa. In the case of Ethiopia, for instance, ZTE got the contract to overhaul the country's telecom infrastructure and to increase services and improve services. And shortly after that, we noticed the first reports of websites being blocked in the country. You know, we know that this is, you know, we've had also allegations that some Western companies, some French companies, have also transferred surveillance technology to governments in Francophone Africa. So it's an alarming trend that we are watching, and it's a real and clear threat to the sources of journalists.
UNESCO and press rights groups are aiming to beef up measures protecting the free press with the UN Plan of Action on the Safety of Journalists and the Issue of Impunity. Yanish Karklins is UNESCO's Assistant Director General for Communications and Information. He says police and law enforcement officers must realize that attacks against the press are attacks against democracy. He says an independent press is just as important as the three pillars of democracy, the executive, legislative, and judicial branches of government.
As journalists represent the fourth, as they are called, the fourth power, they should be equally protected. They should be protected as executive power or legislative power or legal power are protected in any country. And today, we do not see yet that this is the case. So working with the law enforcement agencies is also one of the areas what we are pursuing. the same said, we're working with the journalist associations, we're working with journalism schools to provide basic training on safety issues for journalists. We're working with the governments, making sure that all the legislative frameworks which exist are empowered and they are used properly.
Carklands says UNESCO is asking governments to voluntarily provide the results of investigations of killings of journalists. He says it's also working with the corporate media and journalist associations to help train reporters to operate in a hostile environment.
We're working with the publishers, with their employers, making sure that employers are not misusing journalists and not sending part-time journalists or freelancers to dangerous places without providing them necessary protection. This is also an obligation of a employer to provide necessary protection for their journalists when they're doing their work.
One group helping to train journalists is the International News Safety Institute in London. Director Hannah Storm says the Institute teaches traditional reporters, freelancers, and bloggers how to protect records of contacts. Such records can be easily hacked by governments or outside groups. Reporters' cell phones can also be hacked and reveal their locations.
If, for instance, you happen to update your Facebook status with a comment as to where you are, or you tweet something about somebody's appearance or presence or somebody's death potentially, all of that can have massive ramifications on the safety of individuals and also the safety particularly of local fixers and local journalists when locations are realized and commented on.
Storm says her institute is also working to protect hundreds of journalists in exile.
So this plan, this interagency plan, which we're doing a special report within that plan, is looking at issues of kind of good practice and suggestions where governments and civil society groups can try and work to support exiled journalists. It's just one aspect of it. Exiled journalists more with places like safe houses, support for reintegration into societies, support for their families, some degree of kind of mentoring if they need to change their job, and some kind of network in place where there can be, ongoing discussions between journalists who have faced similar kind of issues and threats.
Mohamed Keita of the Committee to Protect Journalists says safeguarding freedom of the press benefits development. Good reporting can expose corruption and mismanagement that reduces economic growth and can lead to political instability. But human rights groups say journalists are paying a high price to do their job. I'm William Eagle in Washington.